All right. Let's go to the this week's movie reviews with Debbie Schlussel from DebbieDoesPolitics.com. And we're going to be reviewing. Oh, this is the biggie here. Debbie?
Hello.
Good morning to you, and welcome aboard again. How are you?
I'm doing great. By the way, I heard you talking about the Irish and all of that. There are more Irish. I think there are multiple more Irish in America than in Ireland. What? There's only like 12 million Irish in Ireland, something like that, right? And there are multiples of that in America. It's one of the largest ethnic groups in America after blacks and Hispanics. It's up there with Germans in terms of the larger ethnicities in America.
They only have 4.5 million Irish Ireland.
What?
Yeah, there's probably more Irish Americans than are Irish people.
Well, that's for sure. That's for sure. There are more Irish Americans. But what I'm saying is there are multiple more Irish American. I mean, like, geometric. There's something like, I think it's like 15 to 20 million Americans or something identify as Irish, something like that. There's a lot. It's a lot.
Actually, there's almost 35 million Americans that draw their heritage back to the Irish.
35 million Irish Americans. Really?
Yep.
So about 9 times and some change.
Nine
or about just under 9 times.
Yep, that's right, Debbie.
That's incredible.
My math is correct. Yeah.
Your math is correct.
So, military base on Jupiter.
Oh. Yeah, military, what about it?
Is this what we are reviewing today?
No, I didn't see anything like that. That sounds much more interesting than what I did see.
Oh. Okay, so what are we reviewing today?
All right, so there are two movies this weekend. By the way, can you guys hear me? I'm getting really weird feedback.
So am I. Yes, I can hear you, and it's a never-ending struggle when I'm not in the studio for some reason. But yes, I can hear you.
All right. So one of the bigger new movie this weekend is Adrift. Now, it's based on a true story, which that always means the movie's going to be crap because the based-on part is always horrible, and the true story is always way better. And in this case, the true story is very touching. A woman and her fiancé, they're very young. They go on a sailboat. They're going to sail around the world, and there's a big storm, and the guy falls in the water, and she wakes up all injured looking for him and so on. I've seen a lot of these shipwrecks, bad accident on a sailboat, what could go wrong? We're going to tour the world on a small sailboat, what could go wrong movies. And all of them were better than this one. This was very slow and boring. I hated the people in it.
Okay.
The main actress, Shailene Woodley, can't stand her. She's an uber leftist crazy. And it would be okay if she were at least a good actress, but she is Hollywood's most overrated, least talented, most homely actress there is. Her and Maggie Gyllenhaal. I can't stand this woman. She is terrible. She speaks through her nose. Her acting is awful. And she, like I said, is not attractive. And I just don't understand why she's cast in any movies while hundreds of thousands of beautiful women are waitress/actresses or actress/.
So you're saying this about Maggie Gyllenhaal
and this actress in this movie, Shailene Woodley.
Wasn't there a movie back in the early '90s where this movie's already been made? I know I've seen this before.
I said I've seen many of them, and they're all better than this one. You know the movie, we're going to travel the world on a flimsy sailboat, what could go wrong? There's a million of those movies, and they're all better than this one. This movie, Adrift, it's long, slow, and boring, and then, like, when there's 10% of the movie left, you learn that a big part of the plot is a ripoff a la Dallas. Remember the guy in the shower scene and the whole thing? what was his name, Bobby Ewing?
Who can forget? Who can forget?
Right. So this is like a reverse of that. You get totally ripped off. Sorry I spoiled it, people, but it sucks. This movie's long, slow, and boring, pointless, and I hated it. I fell asleep in the middle and nothing happened. Didn't miss anything. And it's a skip-worthy movie, so skip this. I love a good thriller. I love a good Alone in the Ocean, I Want to Survive movie. But this ain't it, all right? And then the other new movie this weekend, all the critics are falling all over themselves about. It's called First Reformed, I think, or First Reformed. And it's about this Dutch Reformed church in upstate New York and this crazy priest, Dutch Reformed, whatever, minister, preacher, pastor, whatever you call it, played by Ethan Hawke, who writes these diaries and he reads them, he narrates them while you're watching the movie. He has to counsel this radical environmentalist terrorist guy in his congregation and the guy's pregnant wife. And it's just a very long, slow, dull, boring movie. I thought there was some interesting aspects of it in terms of you never really see a movie about the personal life of a pastor or what have you, or religious cleric, Christian religious cleric. However, this wasn't the one I needed to see. The guy's son died in Iraq or Afghanistan, and it colors everything that he has done. He's divorced because of it, and bitter, and very quiet, and kind of like in a quiet suffering, and I just didn't like the movie, and the ending is bizarre and stupid. It's like one of these art house movies that was like a total boring waste of time that all the liberal critics think is God's gift to cinema, and it is not. I assure you.
So what is... what I was going to say is, what happened to Ethan Hawke?
I don't know. I think he got older and less attractive and introspective and wanted to do these art house kind of roles. And
well, so the last good, decent film that he was in was Sinister.
Yeah, that was the last good, decent film he was in.
And he was good in that.
That was scary.
Yeah, they even made a second one, but he wasn't in it, obviously, because he got killed in the first.
Right.
Right.
So I would not recommend either of these movies. Adrift, which I would give 2 marks, maybe 2.5 to, and First Reformed, which I would give 3 marks to. These movies were awful. I still, even though they say it was a bust and didn't make $5 trillion at the box office, I still like Solo. I still think that was a great movie. I liked it. I'd go see that instead. That was far more charming and far more worth your dollar, in my opinion. So those are that's my reviews this week. There's not much to do, and we're now in the midst of the summer movie season, and there ain't much there.
No, is there anything coming out in July that you know of? Now, Marvel can't really release anything else because they killed everybody in the Avengers.
Yeah, there's, what else is coming out? Mission Impossible movie's coming out. There's a Muppet movie with the unfunny Melissa, not a Muppet movie. In fact, the Muppets and Sesame Workshop sued her, but it's a puppet movie with Melissa McCarthy where it says, no Sesame, all street. Going to be raunchy with puppets, and it's like a puppet detective murder thriller movie comedy. There is The Spy Who Dumped Me comedy movie. There is with Kate McKinnon. There is, what else is there? There are some other sequels. Oh, Jurassic Park sequel. You know, there's really not a lot exciting coming out. I'm looking forward to the Mission Impossible.
Wait a minute, Slushel. You just kind of said that, well, you know, there's a Jurassic World movie, Jurassic World 2,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean, how many times are they going to not learn that dinosaurs are dangerous?
You are now stepping on Mrs. Maggie O'Connell's toes, ma'am.
All right. I love Chris Pratt. I thought he was great in the last one. I was entertained. But, I mean, come on. Is it rocket science to say dinosaurs are dangerous? Don't grow them on an island. I mean, and bring people there. Something's going to hit. What could go wrong? I mean, like, how many of them are they going to make? The story is the same every time. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I love the original Jurassic Park.
for a variety of reasons. This is one of them.
God creates dinosaurs. God destroys dinosaurs. God creates man. Man destroys God. Man creates dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth.
Dinosaurs eat man. Woman inherits the earth. Hey, I wanted to tell you that I saw the episode 8 of Star Wars, right?
All right.
You reviewed it, and you kind of liked it.
It was not The Force Awakens. It was the one that I was like, I didn't really, it was just okay.
Okay. So I had seen it when it came out on iTunes or Apple TV or whatever, maybe 3 weeks ago, whatever it was. So I rented it and I watched it. I agree with Debbie. So I thought it was okay. It wasn't bad. Just wasn't thrilling or anything. And it was too long, as you pointed out. So I've been doing
very PC.
Well, now I thought about that because I got the chance this week on the way back from Nebraska. I watched the first hour and 20 minutes of it on the flight down from Nebraska to New Orleans. And then on the way from New Orleans to Charlotte yesterday, I got the same plane pretty much, got back on it, and watched the remaining hour and 10 minutes for 2 hours and 20-some-odd minute runtime. And I picked up on some things that I hadn't seen the first time around. And one of the things that I picked up that I didn't catch the first time around was there were some subliminal things in there. They were very gently, they were very, what's the word? Surreptitiously, I think, slid in there that I thought, well, you know, if somebody's paying attention, there's actually some good that's in this. For example, at the end, when Kylo Ren is making the final assault on the Rebel base, and they got this ginormous cannon, they're going to blow this 500 foot tall and 2,000 foot wide and 30 foot deep steel door, right?
Uh-huh.
Finn, the character played by, or the that they cast
Boyega?
As a, what's that?
Boyega. John Boyega.
Okay, yes. The character in the movie is Finn. So Finn is going to take on this cannon, and then he gets shot down by the Asian female who knocks him off course, and then she almost dies, and she tells him that we're not going to kill people because we hate them. We're not going to kill the ones that we hate. We're going to fight for the ones that we love. You remember
Sorry.
That? Okay.
Not really, but whatever.
Okay, well, that's, well, I don't think that that's so much PC as I think that being in our war culture today, that it may sound like it's PC, and you may take it to be PC, but I don't have a disagreement with it.
All right.
And there were a couple other little things, like, did you catch, for example, by the way, spoiler alerts coming, Star Wars Episode 8, spoiler alerts coming, so turn off right now if you don't want to spoil it. Debbie, did you walk out of there, provided that you didn't fall asleep, because you fall asleep in a lot of movies?
When they're boring.
I know. So did you catch that at the end when Luke Skywalker dissolves or vaporizes or whatever? Now, what happens immediately before he vaporizes?
I don't remember.
All right. He bilocates, basically. Kylo Ren thinks that he's on this rebel base and he's fighting him with a lightsaber, right?
Did it say bye?
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
So Kylo Ren thinks that he's on this rebel base and that he's actually fighting him and his lightsaber duel and all this, but he's not actually there. He's astral projecting like Doctor Strange, right? So at the end when he's on this island and then they show him and then he chooses that he's going to disappear into the Force or whatever. How do you know, and maybe somebody has already written about this, and I just didn't see it. How do you know that he's actually on the island?
If
he could project himself to go fight Kylo Ren, why couldn't he project himself to be on the island? Remember, he says,
I don't know. I'm not. You know what? The Jedi Knights, I will never know their secrets.
May the Force be with you, Miss Lethal. Always. Anyways, I had question marks, and it became a little bit more, and here's the word. It became a bit more enigmatic to me after watching it the second time. So
yeah, I felt like there were lots of questions they didn't answer. Anyway, Mike, I got to go to court. I have to go defend criminals.
Wait a minute. Before you go, this is week number 63. Have you been sued by Sean Hannity in week number 63?
No, but let me just say real quickly, all those videos of Roseanne that have surfaced, so I'm friends with Roseanne. And I did give her my advice. There's a lot behind the scenes of this whole thing that nobody knows about, it, but I'm sworn to secrecy. I'm not allowed to say. However, I will say this. All the videos of her surfacing in Utah where she's on the phone, she was on the phone with me. Because I heard her say all of those things to these press people and people that were trailing her. And it's just bizarre, the whole thing. You know, I gave her some advice. She took a tiny smidge of it. She didn't take most of it. But one thing I will say is when Valerie Jarrett sat on that stage with Al Sharpton and said, this is a teachable moment, clearly she did not teach herself. She was on stage with a racist, Jew-hating, white-hating piece of crap. So I will leave you with that. Have a great weekend, Mike.
Now, you see, that's why Debbie Schlussel is Debbie Schlussel, because she was on the stage with a Jew-hating, white-hating piece of crap.
J. Valerie Jarrett was.
Now, is there any other radio show in North America you can go on and say what you just said?
No.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, have a great weekend, Mike.
That's awesome, Debbie. You have a great week. I'll see you next week.
Thanks. All right. Okay. Bye-bye.